إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن ولا وبعد. My brothers and sisters, we were talking yesterday about the use of logic and our understanding and our so-called intelligence in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as I said yesterday, I mentioned to you the ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah, which in my view is one of the most magnificent proofs of what is the limit of our logic and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do. And that is the ayat which, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated, He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made trade and business halal and He has made interest haram. أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ وَهَرَّمَ الرِّبَى. And as I mentioned yesterday, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give reasons for this. Obviously, there are reasons. There are any number of reasons why interest is detrimental, it is destructive. I mentioned to you many times, I think before, of my conversation with Mr. Narayana Murthy of Infosys, where I asked him why they had never gone into bank borrowings. And he said to me, it is strange that you are asking me this question. So I said, I am asking you because you are not a Muslim. You are not bound by the same principles that I am bound by. He said, no, it's not a question of religion. He said, interest destroys wealth. Interest destroys wealth. So it's not an issue of religion. He said, religion is okay. Your religion bans it and that is correct. And he says, every religion bans it. It is not only your religion. People don't follow that. That's a different issue. So the point is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though there are reasons, Allah did not mention the reasons. So what is the purpose? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not mention the reasons? In my view, the purpose is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to establish an even more important fundamental principle, even more important than interest and this and that. And that fundamental principle is Sama'ana wa ata'ana. Sama'ana wa ata'ana. غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. The basic principle Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to establish is that we obey Allah because He is Allah. We obey the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because it is the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No other reason. The fact that every order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu has a reason why that order was given, that the fact that there is a reason or there are multiple reasons why this order was given, why this order is beneficial for the people to whom it was given, which is us as human beings and as Muslims, this is always there. I mean, there is a reason and so on and so forth. But that is not why we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reason I'm saying this is because one of the problems of our so-called intelligence is that it takes us, as I mentioned many times before, we should remind ourselves that shaitan, when he cannot prevent you from doing something good, he will try to take away or reduce the amount of reward that you will get from doing that. He can't stop you, so he will try to make you do it in a way where you get less reward. One of the best examples is praying in the masjid compared to praying in the home, right? Your prayer is valid, but if you are praying in the home, you get at best one reward. If you pray in the masjid, you get 27 times the reward, right? So, and alhamdulillah, you're praying in jama'ah. So, therefore, even your mistakes when you're praying behind the imam, those mistakes are automatically forgiven. If you are praying on your own, you are responsible for those mistakes. So, alhamdulillah, this is what shaitan does. He tries to reduce. So, alhamdulillah, we should stick to what we know. And therefore, in the case of this issue of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, today we find a lot of people saying, you know, you must pray because if you do the movements of the salah, the ruku and the sujood and so on, this will give you a six pack, or, you know, it will take away your your paunch, or you know, somebody had this theory of saying that when you put your head on the ground, all static electricity of the body is discharged into the earth. Now, believe me, if you think you are a piece of wire earthing the universe, then may Allah forgive you. But I mean, now point of why am I making this point? I'm making this point because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Innama al-amalu bin-niyat." He said the deed, the reward of the deed is based on the niyyah. So if you are praying salah to discharge static electricity, then wallahu alam whether your salah is valid or is it salah or what is it, right? Similarly, for fasting in Ramadan, if you say fasting is, this is good for you, that is good for you, and you know this 1 month of starvation is very good for the blood circulation or God knows what, that is not the reason why you are fasting. The fundamental issue, the fact that I'm not saying all of these things are wrong. No, maybe they are right. Allah knows best. You know, whoever has done research, may Allah forgive them and also reward them. But the point is that is not the reason you are doing it. Why are you fasting? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said so. And fasting is another very good example to illustrate this issue of samayana wa atana. Because tell me, what other reason will there be for you to make haram on yourself things which are normally halal? This is the whole beauty of Ramadan, which reinforces the issue of obedience, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not, in Ramadan, Allah is not forbidding us to do haram. Haram is forbidden anyway. It's not only forbidden in Ramadan. In Ramadan, we are forbidden to do that which is halal, to eat halal food, to drink and so on and so forth during a certain period of time, you know, from sunrise to sunset. Now, why? What can be, what logic is there? If you are telling me I have to fast for 12 hours, I'm fasting for 12 hours every day of my life in the night. Right? If I eat my dinner by about say 8 o'clock in the night, and I eat my breakfast at 8 o'clock in the morning, I'm fasting for 12 hours, and I'm doing that every day. We are all doing. Nobody wakes up in the middle of the night to eat food. So, I mean, we are fasting for 12 hours. So, big deal. If you are fasting for 12 hours every single day of your life, you fast for 12 hours in the daytime, what is the song and dance about? So, why are you doing it? Because Allah said so. Sama'ana wa ata'ana. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, baya is halal and trade is haram. And the ayat before that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they say that riba is like baya. Mislu riba. Al-baya, mislu riba. They say that trade is like riba. Now, for example, how do they say that? I'll give you a very simple example to illustrate that. Supposing you have a house, say just for the sake of calculation, don't tell me you can't buy a house with that money and so on, leave that aside. Just for the sake of calculation, I'm trying to keep the math simple. Supposing you have a house which is worth 10 lakhs, 1 million rupees, and you rent it out and you are getting 1 lakh per year, which is 1 million rupees. So, the house costs 10 million, the value of the property is 10 million, and you are renting it for 1 million. So, what percentage is that? 10%. So, you are getting a 10% return on your investment. Now, the banker comes to you and says, why do you want to get into all of this? See, you buy a property, you look after it, and you have to paint it, and this and that, and pay this tax and that tax. Just put that 10 lakhs, put the 10 million. Put the 1 million, which is 10 lakhs, put the 1 million into a fixed deposit account, and I will give you 10% interest, which is 1 lakh of rupees, which is 100,000 rupees. So, your investment in a house, right, or a rental property of 1 million is giving you a return of 100,000, which is 10% return. Instead of that, put the same money into a fixed deposit bank account and I will give you exactly the same money, 10% as a interest. You please sit down and count it. I mean, not one single rupee less, not one single dollar less. Exactly the same income I will give you. Now, tell me, what is the difference? Al-baya mislu riba. That's what he's saying. It is the same thing. It is trade. You put an investment, you're getting a return on this. What is it? You're not deceiving anybody, you're not stolen from anybody, you're not cheating anybody, you're not telling any lies, you're not doing anything. You take this interest and give it away all in charity, no problem. Right? Don't even use it. Put the money there, take it and give it away in charity. No problem. Is this jais? Is this permissible? No. Why not? Not because it does not make logical sense. Not because, there is no example. It is haram, haram, haram. Because Allah said so. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, they say that trade is like riba, but Allah made trade halal and He made riba haram. So how can trade be like riba? Now this is the magnificence and glory of my Rabb Jalla Jalalu, where He says, I said so, how can you say it is the same? When I said it is different, how can you say it is the same? Who are you? You are less than a cockroach. You want to stand up and say this is against the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is the principle of Samayana Vatana. And this is what the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Alayhim Ajmain understood. And that is why the last two ayat of Suratul Baqarah, the Asbabun Nuzul of that, which also you have heard from me many times, where the Sahaba came to me sallallahu when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Lillahi ma fi samawati ma fi l'ard, wa in tubudu ma fi anfusikum aw tukhfuhu yuhasibukum bihi Allah, فَيَغْفِرُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءَ وَيُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَاءَ وَاللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayah, that everything in the heavens and the earth belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If He wishes, He will give, He will hold you to account for whatever is in your hearts and whatever you say and do. And if He wishes, He will punish, and if He wishes, He will reward, and He can do whatever He likes. When this ayat was revealed, the Sahaba came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they fell down before the Prophet ﷺ on their knees. They did not make sajda to him. They just fell down on their knees. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, this is so difficult. This is so heavy on us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they said, we are conscious of and we are responsible for and we try to take care of what we say or what we do. But what is in our hearts, our thoughts and our feelings and so on, this is not in our control. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that if He wishes, He might punish us for this, we will be destroyed. We will be destroyed. If Allah is going to punish us for this, how can we survive? This is what the Sahaba said. And what did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, He said, will you be like those people before you who said, Sami'na wa asayna? Will you be like those people before you who came and they said, we have heard but we will not obey? He said, قُلْ سَمَعْنَا وَعَطَانَا وَغُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. He said, say, O Allah, we hear and we obey. See the words, we hear and we obey. He did not say, we hear and if we understand, we will obey. We hear and if it makes sense, we will obey. If we hear and if it is logical, we will obey. No. We hear and if we like it, we will obey. These are all the ways in which we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala today. We obey, we do what we like to do anyway. We do what we think makes sense or whatever we like to call sense. This is not Islam. Sami'na wa ata'na ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. We hear and we obey, O Allah. Forgive us because to you is our return. Now the beauty is that yes, indeed, the rest of the ayat came after that, right? The last two ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah came after that, Amana Rasul, to the end. But when did they come? They came 12 months after this incident. That also one must remember. It's not as if as soon as the Sahaba said, Sami'na wa ata'na, immediately Jibreel came with the ayat. No. 12 months Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested them. 12 months Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalalahu tested them. You said Sami'na wa ata'na, now show it. We hear and we obey, now show it. After 12 months, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then sent the ayat of Ruqsa from Aman al-Rasul to the end, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that la yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa usaha laha ma kasabat wa alayhi maktasabat. Allah does not give the difficulty on a person more than what they can bear. And the last two ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah with all the barakah of those ayat, they came 12 months later. Why? Because this basic fundamental principle of Islam, that obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unquestioning, not because it is blind, but because it is obedience with understanding of who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. This is the principle. If somebody tells you there is blind obedience in religion, you might say, well, maybe in your religion, not in our religion. In our religion, there is no blind obedience. There is obedience with understanding of who is Allah. Once I know who is Allah, then I don't have to question the whole thing all the time. Huh? What is that question? Once I know who is Allah, alhamdulillah, then I obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is there to question? Questioning is before we enter Islam. Question as much as you want, no problem. Satisfy yourself that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu exists, that there is Allah and that I have to meet Him and therefore I must obey Him. Satisfy yourself. But once you have satisfied yourself and you said, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, after that there is no questioning. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا. About the Sahaba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, these are the people who believed and then they never doubted. And they did not doubt. It's not as if every day there is a new doubt. What kind of nonsense is that? That is the shaitan in your head, nothing else. Once you know, you know. And that is what I remind myself and you, let us examine our lives. Examine what we do, how we do. Obedience is a matter of observation. Obedience can be seen, it can be measured. It's not something in the heart, it's what you are doing in our actions, in our speech. And we let us understand that our logic is all very well, but don't take it to a place where this logic will take you on the slippery slope ending in the pit of Jahannam. Let us make sure that our logic takes us to the right place, which is to understand who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu is and to obey Him without question, not because we are blind, but because we can actually see. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين.